Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Yeah, it is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. And I gave you beautiful music there coming from Pastor Evelyn Branford, the Son of God. Beautiful, ne? I remember there's a beautiful song called Ameni that she also did with Pastor Kilebuchile Wesi. So awesome. And before that, I gave you the songs of Bongani Diortha, I Am a Jesus Freak, 27 minutes just before 1 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. On the line now, as I promised the family, I'm talking to Sir, or Your Excellency, Sir Thanaker. How are you, sir?
Hey, Sibongile, how are you?
I'm blessed.
Good. It's a beautiful... And I'm fine, thank you. I'm so happy to hear you. I'm busy asking you, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And I'm so excited that we are talking again with you about this issue. I remember the last time when we spoke about GBV, we were challenging faith-based organizations to come to the party and do something about GBV and do something about violence, domestic violence in their own churches, because the very same church members, congregants, are community people, are from the community, and they are affected by these, and some of them are going through these themselves.
Yes, and it's an important part of the work where we're calling on faith-inspired actors and faith-inspired people who know, you know, in the church space that they want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we're happy to build on in the conversation. That event went really well, Sibongile, in October 3rd, where we launched a strategy plan to end GBV, kind of a 2030 strategy plan, and that's been picked up now by many faith sector. Mm. And I'm very excited about this one called the Red Chair campaign.
Yes.
That's pointed at 16 days of activism.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, especially that I'm wondering why the red chair. Are we referring the red with the blood with, that has been spilled during GBV whenever it happens? Why the red chair?
Yeah, I mean, the color is obviously a color that is symbolic in light of just being cognizant of pain and tragedy and trauma, possibly even, you know, the risk factor of just letting people know, you know, kind of a stop sign, you know, so the symbolism. But the Red Chair Project is a global campaign that runs each year during what we call the UN 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence. Mm. And we, as the Faith Action to End Gender-Based Violence, together with several partners across the country, have adopted and adapted the campaign. So if you think about it, it's an empty chair that acts as a powerful symbol for the many women who have been killed through gender-based violence. Hmm. And it calls us to ensure that no more women will die in this way by taking seriously the voices of survivors in our faith spaces.
Sure. And so this is where we are calling faith-based organization again, organizations to come join the conversation.
Yeah, we're calling on churches, we're calling on NGOs, we're calling on professional workspaces, and it's quite simple. It's three easy steps.
Okay.
You display a chair in a public place, in your faith institution or your workplace.
Okay.
Cover it in a red fabric and place a poster on it, you know, that says, for example, remembering those that are gone on, or a place for them. And so it remains empty as a chair. And it's, okay, it's about, yes, raising awareness. But it's more than raising awareness. We want this campaign, as we've adapted it, to suit our goals and our goals in light of what we can do to localize the project and bringing about support for ending gender-based violence. We want to see people adding their own logos. People can, you know, add their own touch and vibe to it. But it's simple in that way. It's an empty chair that's red with perhaps a sign that says, you know, we remember them.
Mm.
Yesterday, Sibongile, I was so moved because we did a campaign partnering with Heartlines and Faith Action to End Gender-Based Violence and the National Shelter Movement.
Mm.
And part of the workshop, we actually demonstrated, you know, as we build towards the 16 days of activism, we demonstrated this red chair, and we had, you know, it covered in a red cloth with a little candle and remember them.
Yeah.
One participant had time to tell us that her sister died at the hand of her boyfriend in 2003. And in this moment, it was the first time since 2003 that she took a moment to reflect and remember her sister's life. So we believe that this can be a significant space. It's kind of iconic. It's iconic. It sets in motion. At our own church of the URCSA Annadale, our church has taken up the campaign.
Right.
So we're going to place a chair throughout the season of Advent in our local church.
So now, but how,
I'm happy to also communicate that, you know.
Yeah.
Yes,
you can to communicate.
So I was also just saying that, you know, Heartlines is a values-based organization through our comms manager is also going to back this campaign. So while Faith Action to End Gender-Based Violence has been an igniter, you know, of the campaign, drawing from the global effect, we're localizing it. Also, we have some, like, there's a few folk that they'll say, well, we don't sit on chairs. So what they did, they adapted it, which I love. They're calling it the Red Mat Campaign. So they're placing a red mat, you know, and in their own spirituality, they sit close to the floor. And so in these spaces, they're going to have a red mat campaign. Can you imagine some of these churches, like, that we see meeting out in the fields, placing a red mat and iconically making this moment available for people to be cognizant and building in awareness to sustain action and faith-inspired people to end gender-based violence.
All right, but how do we help people to break the silence, especially within the faith-based organizations? Because I think it's a very hard one. You might find that the husband, the wife, is the one who gives more money, who is more active, who is a leader, well-known. And so it's very hard even for the victims to speak up, because who will believe me?
So, you know, it obviously will take some mobilization. You're quite right, because what we're mentioning there is econopatriarchy, for example. It depends on, you know, and remember, gender-based violence is not only, yes, the 16 days of activism is directed at women and the abuses that are also faced by children in light of these, you know, social evils. But gender-based violence is a life cycle that affects men and women. But in the place of power, we know that econopatriarchy, is at play. And this really limits the voices of those that are victimized. In our approach at the work that we do, we call them survivors. Now, there are people who are surviving. And yesterday, in that workshop, we had a few survivors step up. Some of them have been affected, not directly, but, you know, but if they've lost a loved one. So we ask them to commemorate those people. And I think by doing so, we give, not that we give, but we kind of set a space and a safe and courageous space for people to share their voice. But you're right, we're gonna need folk who are values-based leaders. You know, in this place, you can't be speaking publicly about what you're not practicing in private. And so we need leaders that actually have adapted and are doing the work. And there are many men, I must say, you know, in my own work, we were working with Fathers Matter at Heartlines. There are many men who want to be positive, active, and present men. And so they're joining in with the campaign around Fathers Matter to End Gender-Based Violence. So if there's a pastor or a spiritual leader or an elder and, you know, the boards at church, we really want to get behind the 16 days of activism. We find that this Red Chair campaign can really give us an insightful inroad towards setting a tone, not only to build awareness, but to build sustained action. And what we have access to through Faith Action to End Gender-Based Violence, which people can check online, there are some documented pieces of how you can help survivors, of how you can come alongside them through, you know, counseling and bringing relief to the pain. Because a lot of the time is what we will call spiritual abuse. When a survivor of gender-based violence comes to some of our people at church, we say, just pray. You know?
Yeah.
We kind of just say, just pray. Without any other follow-up. And so in this campaign, we don't just want you to be building awareness and talking about the reality of that GBV is out there. We know it's out there. But we want to see it moving people into action.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for the organizations that are partnering, and you know, we are hoping that I can imagine. I even said it to another colleague who works in a corporate space. I said, join the campaign. I know you're not in a, you know, your corporate space is not a so-called church or, you know, a faith space. But can you imagine you guys put an iconic chair in the entrance space that says a place for them, and allow, you know, throughout the 16 days of activism that your corporate workers are coming in.
Mm.
A pastor, Ibongile, from a church out in Foslora said to me about 2 weeks ago, he said, you know, Pastor Seth, I want you to come up and meet with our men. And I said, okay, we know, because we've been doing some Father's Matter work with them, you know. He said, but I want you to speak to them about their health, in their mind, their thinking, their mental health. And I said, why now? He said, well, it's November month, so we were dealing with mental health. But he said, more as it relates to the December time and this holiday period, because a lot of our men, we recognize, they get stressed, fights break out at homes, etc. So I just want to say, I think, like, these are moments that we can interject and we can merge as faith communities, say we're going to get behind this. Not just in our speaking in quiet ways, but make it iconic, place the rear chair in symbolic places, get our children to understand it. So at our local church in Joburg South, in Annadale, we're going to look forward to having that chair right throughout, you know, the Advent season.
Wow.
And yes, this Jesus that we say that we love, and Jesus Christ that we say that we serve, has called us to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
Yeah.
And this GBV factor, we want to see it coming down. We don't want the rate of GBV to continue. We want our children and our boys and our girls and our families and our fathers and mothers to be growing up in a safe context. And it is possible.
Now, but how do we then break this, help them, the victims, break the silence, at the same time also remain, save ourselves? Because there are those in churches, there are those organizations, workspaces where they are even afraid of the perpetrator. It was so sad for me over the past years where I've heard of a man who would be arrested and he would be released because he was buddy buddies with the SAPS in the areas around. It was in Gauteng, one area in Gauteng, I won't mention where. And I remember the minister of police back then coming up to say, if this man, because the wife had to now take it to social media, pastors were involved, but they never helped. Faith organizations, let me say that, not pastors per se, but faith organizations got involved but couldn't help because they were afraid of the person. And it ended, the whole thing ended when the minister of police around that time said, if this man is not arrested by closing, I need, and I still need these, all these police stations that are mentioned here to give account. So if the person is somebody that we fear in the faith-based organization, in whatever organization, how do we deal with this? What advice do you have for us?
So, I mean, the first thing is that we've been advocating through Faith Action to End Gender-Based Violence is we must declare that GBV is a thing, and in a spiritual, you know, articulated way, to be direct, that we acknowledge that gender-based violence is a sin.
Yeah.
And that we're not going to support any more language and spiritual abuse where we say male privilege and male dominance. And yes, you're quite right, it's hard to break the systems of patriarchy.
Hmm.
But with more voices that come out. And I mean, pastors at their church, they are respected. And if they have access, some of us as pastors, we know about the folk that are in our midst and in our congregation that are acting violently. And we're going to have to be more courageous in our engagement of them. I have personally had to engage a few couples over even this year where we've had to talk to men about their behavior. And obviously we are not legal, you know, we're not the legal folks, but there's an accountability even as ministers that we're going to have to coach and counsel those families through what they have to do. And at the end of the day, you know, this is what's so sad. And I'm sorry to say this way, but when it comes to domestic violence and intimate partner violence, it seems like the church sometimes end up, you know, we end up kind of worrying more about, oh, what happens if they get a divorce, instead of stopping the abuse.
Mm.
So I think the first thing that we'll say is make a declaration. Right. It's clear that, you know, gender-based violence is a sin. Mm. The same way that we talk about, you know, lying and stealing and racism and, you know, gender-based violence is a sin. It's a sin before God. And you are not in our faith teaching, you know, for those of us that are Christians out there and that are listening to the show, that we must declare that God is not happy with us acting out in violence to our children, to our partners, to be violent people. And yet we understand why some of this is in existence. So, you know, there's a trauma that's in our country. There's and let's be honest, we have a beautiful country, Sibongile, but some of the pains of our past still haunt us. And some of us are going to have to choose healing paths. So when we can make an acknowledgement that it's a sin, then we can start building in, you know, coaching ways. So, like, we have a group at our church for men's ministry. They gathered around the bride. We started talking to men to say, how can you be a better version of who God has called you to be?
Right.
Don't live to the lowest common denominator of your potential. Do you actually want to be this ugly person in your family? We're talking to men. And talking to them about their value charters. Like, what are your values? Are you actually living by the values that you want? And this then also calls in the accountability of families. Many families know that violences are taking place in and amongst marriages or, you know, with their children and their partners. It requires us to step up with some formative courage to have a courageous conversation and sit them down and say, this behavior cannot continue.
Right.
This is not healthy for you. So, you know, in this kind of way, we find it. And then also to make information available, especially for people that are, you know, are victims in a way, and they are surviving. They've been victimized by gender-based violence, but they don't know their rights, and they don't know how to speak up about it. They kind of accept, okay, well, if I get a smack, it's okay. You know, he's my husband, I must just keep quiet and take it. And unfortunately, there are some women in our faith church who say, oh, well, you know, that's how men are.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to stop those stereotypes. We need to be speaking clearly about it. And I want to say to pastors out there, start using your pulpit time to address this.
Yeah.
But in this campaign, you know, just an observation, I'm looking forward to actually seeing it in motion at our local church to create, and maybe there'll be one or two people that will step forward, even if they come and just stand at the red chair to make an observation. I know that in our community, there have been many young women and women of different ages that they haven't lost their lives. They've been murdered due to gender-based violence. And this has to hit home for our pastors, for our spiritual leaders, for our men, for our women, for fathers and mothers and grandparents. We got to say that we want a safer, healthier society.
Sure. Sharon Pareachi, hello to you, saying I'm listening. And then another family member says, can I remain anonymous? Why is it that when we are talking about 16 days of activism against GBV, it gets worse around that time? Is there anything that we need to do to change this? So, Niker?
Yes. Hey, Sibongile, this is a tough one. You know, like, we know patterns. So let me take you back to the example I shared with us about this men's group that we're going to meet and talk about mental health. They know that when December time comes, people are at home. You know, there's stresses around shopping and so on. But they also know that they see a peak in gender-based violence. In another example, I can say to you that we know every year without fail that we will lose lives because of accidents and people not practicing the safety culture. So yes, it's not the fault of the fact that we talk about gender-based violence, whether we like it or not. Gender-based violence has been here even before COVID. It has been existing as a system that is there and has been given life by our inaction and by the fact that we're not educating and informing people. So it's kind of a quasi pseudo information where we're saying, hey, you know, because we're doing 16 days of activism, we see a peak. Whether we had 16 days of activism or not, it's still going to be there. Now what we need to do is say, how do we build into this framework? And hopefully, like, can you imagine if we jump onto this campaign? And if we looked at last year, we said we had so many deaths based on gender-based violence during this time, but this year we see a drop because we're practicing a culture of safety. And so when I speak to some you know, men who are struggling, I say to them, you're going to have to learn principles to stop, to breathe, to listen, and then respond. If you can't stop and breathe, take a walk away from there immediately. A young man in another church came and spoke to me. He said, Pastor, when you did this workshop on Father's Matter to end gender-based violence, I felt very convicted. I said, please tell me more. He said, you know, every time I get angry, I don't want to smack my partner, but when she talks to me, and she talks in a very assertive way, I don't know what else to say, to do, so I smack her. So I said, why do you do that?
Yeah.
He says, but I feel like I'm powerful. I'm the man.
Mm-mm.
And I said, but can't you have a conversation? What is this that you're saying that you're a man, and to be a man okays you to give a smack?
Hmm.
And so can you imagine, Sibongile, and to our listeners out there, we're going to have to train men and boys of how to respond differently.
Yeah.
To learn new ways of responding. To teach. I mean, like, you know, I have a son who gets very emotive, and I pray that we'll be able to coach him well. But we're training him to say that when you feel so angry, how can you express this? So we give him a ball, we give him something that he wants. I mean, one day, you know, for my own family, after my dad died, Sibongile, Marisha took us out as a family, and we went and had a meal, but we went to a place where we could just crack plates, you know, and it was fun. So there are ways that we can get these harsh emotions out.
Yeah.
Instead of allowing our foot and our punches and our legs and our hands and feet to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we need to inculcate that into our culture to start unlearning the bad things that we've learned and make sure. Can you imagine, by God's grace, and I pray for it this year, that with the Red Chair campaign, that we'll see the numbers coming down in December around GBV cases, and that into next year and beyond.
Yeah.
To 2030 and beyond, that our country becomes more safe, more healthy around the way that we manage our relationships.
Sure. Thank you so much for this kind of campaign. And for people who need more resources around this, on what they can do during the 16 days and how they can participate on this conversation and everything that has to do with the Red Chair campaign, how do they do it? Where can they go to get more info?
So for those that are still doing Facebook, I know not everyone's in the Facebook space, but we are using social media. But on our Facebook page is a simple poster that explains the campaign, much like we've spoken about it today.
Mm.
People can also reach out to communication at WWSOSA.
Mm-hmm.
WWSOSA.org. Or they can also contact the number 082-434-5874. And Sibongile, because I'm connected to these organizations that are partnering, we are available. So if people want to reach out to me, they can do so via Facebook as well. And we'll make sure that the connections happen so that they can get the briefing about the campaign, and that when the 16 days of activism starts taking place on the 25th, we are all in. I would like for you, Sibongile, to partner with us.
Yes.
Right at Radio Pulpit, and place a Red Chair there and build an awareness in that space. And maybe more radio stations can do it, more churches can do it, more educational institutions can do it, more public places can do it, more shopping centers can do it.
Yeah.
But we want to have this iconic space that remembers those that have lost their lives. And we want a safer, healthier culture for our people in our country. Stop gender-based violence.
Wow, thank you so much, Sir Naika, for talking to us today. I think we need to revisit this again somewhere next week or so, where we're talking more about these. I'm thinking about also the GBV that's happening in schools, that's happening in workplaces, because now you've also included us as Radio Pulpit to say put a Red Chair there as well, and challenge other churches to do the same. So, and other organizations and radio stations. I think let's talk about that as soon as we can. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Again, I want to just say to the heart-to-heart connection, thank you for your advocacy. Thank you for making radio about the real issues. And yes, we listen to music, we read our scripture, but our scripture and our faith and our worship has got to turn into sustained action to end the culture of violence, to end gender-based violence. And thank you for partnering with us. We appreciate you. May God bless you and the listeners. And may we really see, you know, healing flow through the work that we're doing as faith actors to end gender-based violence. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We will keep these talks going. We have to do it even beyond the 16 days. Thank you, Sathanaika.
You let me know, and we'll come alongside, and we can even involve other folks that are part of the campaign.
Yep.
Tomorrow, I want to just say something lastly. We're going to be on, not tomorrow, right today, at 2 o'clock, we're doing a Facebook Live at Faith Action to NGB. We'll be live streaming, and I'm hosting the show together with our comms manager and two other colleagues that are champions of the campaign. So please join us on Facebook Live at 2 p.m. today.
All righty then. Thank you so much. Have a blessed, blessed one.
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless you. Bye, nice, Sibungile, and bye to the Heart to Heart listeners.
And yes, my family, that is Sir Thanaika. It is Your Excellency, Sir Thanaika. And if you want to know more about this Red Chair campaign, you can do so. You can find them on 082-434-5874. It's 082-434-5874. Alternatively, you can drop them an email and send your email to communicationshn@wwsosa.org. Or you can just visit their site at WWSOSA. And so I'm really, I was like, you're really challenged about this. And when you're looking at raising an awareness and how we can do this, and they say localize the project by inserting local relevant support contact details and add your logo to the ones on the posters and add a list of local domestic violence and GBV support services. If appropriate, feel free to adapt the metaphor in any way. So if you go to their site, you'll find out more about this. And hold a minute of silence for an end to domestic and other forms of GBV during faith gatherings or meetings, when preaching or speaking at an event during the 16 days of activism. Include messages that support gender justice and speak out against GBV. Make information available on domestic violence and support services. And this, I think we have to do, we have to be at the forefront as Christians, as churches as well. So it's a challenge to us, but let's go and do this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who is also our wisdom.
Fumana inkuthazo imihla yonke. Sikhona ku Facebook. Ngena ube ngumhlobo nawe. I Radio Pulpit Facebook yeyoluntu lonke.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit in collaboration with Need Pray is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.